This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we have James Carrion, author of The Rosetta Deception. So Chris was talking about some of the things being done in World War II. Would you amplify that, James?
Absolutely. So, yeah, there were a number of things that the British first did and then the Americans learned to do. It started off with just rumor spreading, but then there were some very physical aspects to it. For example, they would have these rubber inflated tanks and airplanes so they could simulate equipment on the ground on these large airfields or in defensive positions in the desert. And they were just basically rubber dummies. They even got it to the point where they could drop out these miniature parachutists, and so from the enemy's perspective, they couldn't tell the size of objects descending from the sky. So they saw this whole swarm of parachutes coming down. They thought it was basically a whole airborne force coming down, and essentially it was just these small dummies that were on small parachutes, and they even had sound effects to them so that when they
right.
hit the ground,
gunfire. I love that.
Gunfire, and you name it. They had it to this very, very exact science, and it was very effective.
All right, this is getting more and more fascinating by the moment. Let's go back to the ghost rockets. Now, the ghost rockets, I got the impression here is that we believe they were the Russians, but Uncle Joe, Joseph Stalin, believed they were American developments or German developments. Everybody was fooled.
They actually, I believe, you know, again, I'm not privy to what the Russians thought back then, but I believe they thought they were British in origin. I think they thought that the British were experimenting with these rockets and that were trying to put the blame on them.
So
it's a pot calling the kettle black.
So basically here, we fooled everybody with this stuff, or the various organizations involved. It was not just the Americans, it was the British working together. And you mentioned in the book in one passage that a couple of the agents who were used by Ian Fleming to create James Bond were involved.
Absolutely. So there were two main characters in the book. One, his last name is Dunderdale. He was a British in British intelligence. He has had a long history of very productive work in the British intelligence agency, going all the way back to being the ones who provided to the British some captured Enigma machines. He worked very closely with the French, and he was one of the characters that Fleming based his James Bond character on. The other one was William Stevenson, and he actually plays a more prominent role in the book because it was his organization known as British Security Coordination out of New York City that actually documented in a book all of the different black arts methods they used during the war, from everything from manipulation of the media to rumor spreading to outright using agents to entice other certain men, because they were using a lot of female agents, so they used sex as a tool. To doing all kinds of very interesting and nasty things that you would expect from a modern-day CIA. In fact, William Stevenson was the one that encouraged the formation of the OSS, and it was a lot of his techniques that he fine-tuned in his organization that influenced in a large way how the early American intelligence organizations started to do their jobs and, even influencing the modern-day CIA.
Well, you know, that brings up a very interesting, a sizable chunk of your book is spent on looking at the machinations that were occurring prior to the 1947, establishment of, what is now, I guess, referred to as the American intelligence complex. And I find it really fascinating going through and seeing how different groups were jockeying for power and for influence. prior to, you know, the dissolving of the OSS and the creation of the CIA and what we now know as the modern intelligence apparatus in this country. Why don't you give us a kind of a thumbnail sketch on some of the ins and outs that were going on and how certain groups were jockeying for power?
Sure. So right after World War II, Truman decided to dissolve a few of the wartime agencies, and one of them happened to be the OSS. So he called for the disbandment of the OSS, which was essentially our intelligence agency during the war. But there were, of course, the intelligence divisions of the various military agencies as well. So there were all these groups in Washington, and they were all thinking, how can I get my agency to become the foremost intelligence organization in the United States? So, you know, we have the military intelligence organizations like Naval Intelligence and Military Intelligence Division, all jockeying for position. Of course, the Air Force hadn't been formed at that point. It wasn't formed until 1947. But then you have remnants of the OSS that were also very interested in maintaining, you know, a piece of the pie. So what ended up happening is that before the formation of the Central Intelligence Agency in 1947, there was essentially a stewardship group that consisted of what was called the National Intelligence Authority and the Central Intelligence Group. So the CIG, the Central Intelligence Group, was the predecessor organization to the CIA, and it sort of became the steward for intelligence operations. But during that whole period, when the war ended, all the way until the CIA was formally started up, there was a lot of jockeying for position from among all aspects of American intelligence to try to figure out, you know, how they can come out on top.
I also notice here is what always happens is you have different agencies who are probably vying with one another to gain control.
Oh, absolutely. There was absolutely a lot of collusion that was going on, and there were some major figureheads that surrounded that.
Like J. Edgar Hoover trying to extend his influence and power.
Absolutely. J. Edgar Hoover was there, the whole time. You know, obviously he had formed the FBI much early on. He was very active in domestic security, obviously, during the war. But one of the things that a lot of folks don't know is that during World War II, the FBI also extended their fiefdom all the way down into Central America, South America. So they were responsible for intelligence gathering outside of the United States in the South American countries. And when the Central Intelligence Group came into being, and subsequently the CIA, General Vandenberg said, you know what, we're going to wrestle that away from J. Edgar Hoover, managed to convince the president of that, and ended up, basically taking over all of the intelligence operations in South America away from the FBI. And J. Edgar Hoover, being the very cantankerous and very strong-willed person that he was, and a very ill-tempered, when his FBI agents left South America, it was basically a burn operation. They said, we're not going to give the Central Intelligence Group any of our contacts. We're not going to keep any of our records in place. We're taking it all out and let them start from scratch. So rather than be a cooperative operation, it became a very antagonistic operation.
Well, I'd be all mean and cantankerous, too, if I was a cross-dresser in my private life and not wanting anybody to find that out. And so, you got to hand it to him. He really did exert a lot of power and influence and had quite a dossier on public figures during that time period and later.
Absolutely.
This whole thing has really become a fascinating adventure. Let's go back briefly to the Ghost Rockets. I'm going to have to break in about a minute. And that is, all right, you had all these reports of these things in the sky, forgetting what they were interpreted to be. Was it all just people reporting fake sightings to the press, misinterpretations? What?
No, I don't think so at all. So I think you have to basically compartmentalize the information that was floating around back then. There's the information that was showing up in the media. I'm sure a lot of those sightings were real. What was behind them is, and I elaborate this in my book, is that if you can remember again back to these beach jumper units from World War II that were trying to convince the enemy that they were a large invasion force, if they could convince in wartime an enemy unit to believe that they're being attacked when they weren't, you could very easily convince during peacetime that there were missiles flying around the sky. Remember, they had all kinds of paraphernalia and devices they could use to simulate that.
Mm-hmm. Or saucers crashing at Roswell.
That's what we want to ask about in a moment. James Carrion joins us. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Tech Night Out Live. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're back at the Paracast. James Carrion is author of The Rosetta Deception with Gene and Chris. Now, looking at the Ghost rockets, so we assume they were all conventional, and they leveraged these reports, or did they generate these reports to create the disinformation campaign?
I think it could have been a variety of things. So my feeling is that it was probably a combination of actual things that were seen blowing up. You know, it could be very simple deception devices, the same type that they used during the war to simulate something flying overhead. It could have been real missiles. I mean, we had an arsenal, a lot of folks don't know this, of over 1,000 missiles that were like the V-1. They were known as the Loon missile, and was basically a carbon copy of the V-1 rocket. We had mass manufactured these. We were going to use them against the Japanese during the invasion of the Japanese homeland, but that was obviated by the dropping of the atomic bomb. So
what do you do with all the Loons?
You launch them somewhere, maybe over Scandinavia, you know. And I don't think they had to launch a large number of these. I think it had to be just a few here and there, so that would feed the whole press rumor mill that was going on at the time, along with some other very simple deception devices, along with having your sources that were journalists or agents in the media that could then keep that rumor mill going.
Now, you mentioned that some of the prominent people in the media were famously connected with intelligence sources getting their quote-unquote scoops.
Oh, absolutely. It's very well documented that some of the leading, I would call them tabloid reporters of the day, like, Winchell and as well as Drew Pearson, had very close relationships with the intelligence community. But more importantly than that, you had a large number of newspapers whose editors had very close ties to the intelligence agency because they were staunch anti-communists. You have, it's well documented that the editor of the New York Times, for example, had close ties, and Time Magazine. And you look at all of these different folks that were in positions of media power, and they very much had a working relationship with the folks that were in the intelligence community at the time, and they were more than willing to help in pushing whatever message we want as long as it was against the Reds.
Do we see any of that kind of collusion today, or is the media too scattered to work efficiently?
No, we don't see any of that today, Gene. Come on.
I would venture that same relationship continues. I mean, it's been documented by other folks that there was a close relationship between the media and the CIA after the war into the 70s. And I'm sure
it's become institutionalized.
Exactly. I think it's there. It's alive. It's very much real.
You know, one thing that really caught me by surprise, James, in reading the book, was the amazing effort that went into designing self-destruct mechanisms that would render any sort of recovery process moot when teams would be dispatched to try to recover where witnesses said the rocket went down over there. These things had actual self-destruct mechanisms, at least some of them, which rendered any sort of gathering of intelligence from the remains of these craft or objects. I mean, they literally were destroying the evidence as they hit the ground.
Sure. And I think, a lot of that is technology that they fine tuned during the war as part of their deception paraphernalia. I'm sure, again, I would talk about the simplistic devices they could have created. They could have shot a flare overhead and it could be interpreted as a rocket, or they could have had some sort of airframe made out of wood and with paper wings or wooden wings that they could have dropped from a large height and let it glide to the ground with a self-destruct mechanism. So there was any number of creative ways that they could mask what these devices were.
Let's look into motivations here. So we have these reports of ghost rockets. So we're spooking the Russians, right? They think maybe it's something that we're doing or the British are doing. That's one thing. But then we see them here and we think it's the Russians doing it. So that kind of helped inflame the Cold War, didn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, I think if you read the book from cover to cover, what you're going to come to the conclusion is that we, the Americans and the British, we actually fired the opening salvos of the Cold War.
So what was the logic behind that?
Well, I think that we very much knew that even while the war was going on, the Russians weren't exactly our allies. And we got a more grim picture of how much they were becoming our enemy in 1945 when we realized how entrenched their espionage agents were in the United States after a Soviet crypto clerk defected in Ottawa, and this triggered the whole Red Scare of that era. And as we have all these different defectors and these different former Soviet agents coming forward and testifying to the extent of activity, we knew that the Russians were not our friends, at least the Russian leadership were not our friends. And then if you remember back in when there was the famous speech about how when Stalin came out and during his one of his 5-year plan meetings and said that the East and West simply could not coexist, there was going to be war. It was inevitable between the forces of capitalism and communism. It was very much a real fear that another war was headed our way, that World War III was headed our way. There was going to be a big clash, large loss of life, just like during World War II, and something had to be done about it.
Yeah, so it's like almost like the ghost rocket waves were actually formulated to preempt any sort of pacification of the American and allied populations to actually get the levels of fear and suspicion, you know, jacked up and throw gasoline on that fire to then legitimize whatever, you know, political stance that the allies would then take as we go into this Cold War period. And it seems to have worked.
Absolutely. I completely agree with your statement there, Chris. It was basically a preemptive action. It was the opening salvo. It was basically, let's portray, this Uncle Joe Stalin as the bad guy. In fact, he's such a bad guy that he's willing to, you know, fire these missiles over neutral countries. He's belligerent. He's trying to antagonize us, and he's going to start another war. So let's beat him to the punch. Let's take the propaganda to him.
Well, let's revisit what to me was very, very intriguing. You know, that encompasses this whole wave of ghost rockets that were reported, in the northern Mediterranean area. Now, prior to reading your book, I had no idea that the ghost rocket phenomenon extended all the way down to the Mediterranean. Why don't you give our listeners a thumbnail sketch of the time frame for these particular sighting reports and also what the possible motivations might have been?
And before you do that, let me tell you, we have about 20 seconds left. So maybe we should hold that answer. More information about the ghost rockets, and we're going to want to ask James about some of the implications to early UFO events other than the ghost rockets after. The book is The Rosetta Deception. James Carrion is the author. We'll also bring up some of your questions from our forums at forum.theparacast.com. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
Listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case. What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we're talking with James Carrion. The book is The Rosetta Deception, and we're going back and forth on ghost rockets. So is there any more we can talk about there before we go on to other possible events that may have become implicated in the UFO phenomenon? James?
Well, the ghost rocket phenomena started off in Northern Europe and Scandinavia. This was the summer of 1946. But then it migrated down to the south, to the Mediterranean area, when, you know, there were folks in Greece, Turkey, and Portugal all reporting rockets there as well. And what's interesting to me is you can see a direct correlation between where our naval forces were at, I'm talking about the involved deception units were, Admiral Hewitt and his flotilla of ships were in the right place at the right time when the ghost rockets were flying overhead in Scandinavia, and those same ships were in the right place at the right time down in the Mediterranean area when that was going on in the south. So we can see a direct correlation between where these, what I think were former beach jumper units were that were perpetrating this deception, where they were positioned at the time that all this activity was happening.
Okay, now, the logical question then is, we created this parent sighting of strange things in the sky. Does any of that relate to the next topic, which of course is UFO sightings? What about Kenneth Arnold? Did he see something or just some kind of test aircraft?
Honestly, I believe that Kenneth Arnold was manipulated and used in a future deception operation. When I say future, I mean in 1947. But very much connected to the early deception operation 1946. So in the book, I call it Rosetta Phase 1 and Rosetta Phase 2. Rosetta Phase 1 was what encompasses the book as it is right now. Rosetta Phase 2 would be more along the lines of what happened during Maury Island, what happened during Arnold, what happened during Roswell. That's the subject of a future book. But I believe it's all connected. I think if you read Arnold's own book, The Coming of the Saucers, that if you're open-minded enough and you pay attention to the evidence that he's presenting, there's very much, very, very much an aspect of Cold War espionage that you can see that occurs around not only his sighting, but also around his investigation of Maury Island. And again, this goes back to the evidence that most ufologists simply ignore. It doesn't make sense to them. It doesn't have an extraterrestrial connection, so they simply drop it. You know, let's take, for example, Kenneth Arnold, when he was investigating Maury Island. He wanted to fly there, for example, to Tacoma. And, you know, he got there and he didn't have a place to stay. And it turned out that all the hotels in town were booked. So he started calling around trying to find a room. And when he got to the Winthrop Hotel, the clerk said, "Oh, by the way, Mr. Arnold, we have your room ready for you." He never made the reservation. He gets there and occupies this room he didn't reserve that was under his name. And that's where he's meeting with some other characters related to Maury Island. And all of a sudden, his room is allegedly bugged because information is being leaked to the newspapers from somebody who's allegedly hearing their conversations in the room. So there's very much a dark aspect to Maury Island and Kenneth Arnold that most ufologists will ignore because they don't understand it. They can't make the connection. And this is what I think really goes back to trying to understand, you know, what deception's all about. Because if you can't fathom or you cannot conceptualize how you can be deceived, you're simply cannon fodder for these intelligence agencies. And I think that would largely describe most of the leading researchers that are in the field of ufology.
Now, in talking about this Rosetta group, you mentioned the first head of the CIA, Rear Admiral Roscoe Henry Hillicotter. Now, when he returned to civilian life, folks, you might remember the name Hillicotter, okay? Look him up in your history books, but look up also the fact that when he returned to civilian life, he was associated with a friend of his named Major Donald Kehoe, who, of course, was one of the people who promoted and advanced the early UFO mystery and early UFO research. So Hillicotter becomes a member of Kehoe's organization, NICAP. Now, through the years, we've always said, that's weird. But isn't it weird, James? Is there a connection between the fact that Hillicotter was working with Donald Kehoe?
Makes perfect sense to me, Gene.
Sure do.
I think definitely there's a connection here. And if in the book, I describe some of the activities that surround Hillicotter for a couple of reasons. One, you know, in early 1946, even before the Ghost Rocket started flying over northern Europe, Hillicotter was in charge of the USS Missouri, and he was given a very interesting task. He was to bring back to Turkey the body of the Turkish ambassador, some gentleman who passed away that prior year, and they were going to bring the body back and this great fanfare that they were, you know, trying to, say to the Turks, "We are friends. Look what we're doing for you." What it really was about was trying to have a show of force in the Mediterranean during the early Cold War, telling the Russians, "Hey, stay away from Turkey, stay away from Greece. These are folks that we're very much allied with." Now, what I find very interesting is that when Hillicotter in the USS Missouri was about to enter the Mediterranean, it turned out that he rendezvoused with Admiral Hewitt's ship outside of Gibraltar. And these two ships were side by side, I think it was like for a day. And even though, you know, I have no evidence, my feeling is that there was something that happened when those two ships were docked next to each other. And I think actually what may have been a transfer of either deception or some of the paraphernalia I talked about that triggered the ghost rockets, even some of the Loon missiles. There was some exchange of cargo. Again, this is very much hypothetical. I have no evidence to show. But it's just very curious that right after Hewitt returned back to northern Europe and the ship, that then we started seeing all this ghost rocket activity happen. So Hill and Cotter was involved in that from that point of view. But Hill and Cotter was also, and a lot of folks don't know this, he was the naval attaché in France. He was in Paris, you know, even before or right after the fall of France. Obviously, he wasn't there, but he was very much involved with British intelligence there. He knew this other character named Dunderdale that I said was one of the James Bond models. He had a close relationship with him. And he shows up in all the right places at all the right times, even to the point where right after the Rosetta deception took place, lo and behold, he becomes the favorite person to then come back to the States and assume the stewardship of the CIA. He was the first director of the CIA. So there's something going on there where he fell into favor in the intelligence community, where he could assume such an incredible role in the intelligence community. So I have a feeling that there's definitely a connection there, and his connection with UFOs later on, I think, is an extension of that.
All right, now let me ask you the obvious question here. Are all the UFO sightings that were not possibly the result of the Rosetta deception or some sort of disinformation project, were they all just conventional objects, or were there real UFOs intermixed with all this?
When you say real UFOs, are you meaning UFOs of terrestrial origin or extraterrestrial origin?
Let's just say things that have no conventional explanation. Let's not go to extraterrestrial at this point. Just something that we can't explain what's real.
Sure. You know, honestly, I can't tell you, and I'm not saying that every single UFO sighting in 1946 or 1947 had to be Rosetta or our intelligence community. You know, who knows? There are things out there in the universe we simply can't explain. There are mysteries that we can't explain. All I know is that in such a concentrated time frame, we had very strange things going on that, to me, fit more a Cold War intelligence operation than fit any sort of other explanation. Could there have been other things flying around the atmosphere? Sure. What they are, I don't know. All I know is that what I've been able to research and what I've been able to uncover here shows more of a terrestrial explanation.
The book is The Rosetta Deception. James Carrion's got a lot more to tell you, and we'll have some questions from our listeners coming up with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids. I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again. I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we have the first director of the CIA working with NICAP and Donald Kehoe. We have all these events that may or may not have some kind of government disinformation connection. Certainly Maury Island, which we've covered extensively here in the Paracast. Certainly Kenneth Arnold's sighting may have been something merely conventional, a test aircraft. But you kind of think here, do you think that maybe the UFO mystery got out of control? That once these things started, once these stories were published, it just went to places that maybe the Rosetta Group didn't know?
Oh, absolutely. I think it mushroomed out of control, and once it did, they really had no way to contain it. So they sort of been just riding along this wave of, I don't know how would you describe it, but basically just
intense public interest.
Exactly. You know, what would modern Americana be without UFOs, or without, you know, a lot of the different things that surround UFOs? From the media to, you know, abductions and all these things that surround the whole field of ufology.
Now, with abductions, I have speculated that some of the early abductions may have been mind control or drug experiments.
I would say that may very well be. So I think that it may be part of this mushrooming, this inability to contain what started off as a myth that was created by mundane hands. I think we can actually see that, for example, even in the Ghost Rocket period, where I think that there were people in the military. Actually, this is documented fairly well, but there were people in the military that maybe thought, I'm talking about the British military, that thought that there was something extraordinary to these rockets. Again, I'm not saying extraterrestrial, but maybe a technology that was German, very highly advanced. And there was even, R.V. Jones has this very well documented in his book, where he describes where they recovered some fragments of an alleged ghost rocket. And when they sent it off to this British institution to be tested, the British scientists came back very excited, saying, oh, we found elements that were unique, you know, that don't exist on Earth. And he said, well, have you tested them to see if they're just regular coal? And they said, oh, we didn't think about organic material. So they turn around and test it, and it turned out to just be a regular lump of coal. So we have, you know, scientists who tended to make these leaps of faith because they wanted to believe that it was something extraordinary. We see that, for example, in the modern-day UFO era, where We have this alleged estimate of the situation that the Air Force created and sent up the channels to General Vandenberg before it was kicked back down and burned, saying we think these are extraterrestrial origin. So these are folks, again, that could have been in the military at the time, but not in on whatever deception was going on. And of course, they could make these leaps of faith and these you know grand leaps of fascination. But when it gets up to the person who was in on the deception, being General Vandenberg, he's thinking, gee, this really is out of control. I better do something about it. And then kicks it out and says, no, let's take this estimate of the situation. Let's just burn it because there's really nothing to it. Of course, he knew that. That's well documented in my book that shows that General Vandenberg, Hoyt Vandenberg, was one of the key deception planners in the post-war era. And that's documented by information I found in the National Archives.
Yeah. Well, I find it interesting that coal should be found in the remains of a ghost rocket. Maybe it was Santa Claus. He crashed and burned, and some of the coal that he was going to deliver to bad kids inadvertently got tested.
You know, that's as good an explanation as any there, Chris.
Let's move into another aspect related to this Rosetta deception. Okay. So we're looking here at these early UFO cases that seem to have been generated this way. What about Project Blue Book and the earlier agencies that led to Project Blue Book? Were they done deliberately?
Grudge
and Sign. Project Sign, Project Grudge. Were they meant to really investigate something they didn't understand or just part of the deception?
Maybe they weren't part of the deception at all. Maybe they were just part of the fact that it had been had mushroomed out of control. We have this large public interest now. What are you going to do? So you form an agency of folks that are not in on any of this prior knowledge. Let them investigate. It does no harm. You know, whereas the folks that are in on the deception can sit back and say, okay, well, let's just let it happen. So I don't think it was really part of the deception. I think it was part of
inadvertent.
The inadvertent explosion of interest that happened in the general population with the subject.
It makes perfect sense to me. That really has a ring to it.
Let me throw another possibility out for you, which actually occurred to me from reading the book and listening to you talk now, James. And that is, we have the first head of Project Blue Book, Captain Ruppelt. He writes a book, The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects, becomes a big seller. Then he comes out with a new edition. Now, the first book conveyed the feeling that he believed that UFOs were ET. They have a new edition of the book, three chapters are added, and famously in the final chapter, he says, when asked whether he believes in UFOs, if they're real, unusual things, or spaceships, he says, I'm positive they're not. And I thought to myself at the time that maybe he was pressured. That's the prevailing opinion, that he was pressured by his military higher-ups. Or maybe someone went to him and said, listen, Captain Ruppelt, you know, this is getting way too far. This is all based on disinformation, on deception, and someone reads him in on what really happened. And he says, so explain to your readers, you don't believe UFOs are real because they take you seriously. Do you think that could have happened?
Well, it very well could have happened. But I think based on the research, or my research, I think that if... You know, as I believe, this started off as a deception operation. Deception operations at this level, what I call strategic deception, is held very close, very, very close. Very small number of people are in on it. So let's take, for example, you know, what a lot of ufologists believe in the Majestic documents and Majestic 12 and how they've been keeping the UFO secret for years and years and the big cover-up. Could be. But I don't think it was because of an extraterrestrial crash or Roswell. I think it's because
they've been holding the deception secret.
Exactly. And you have to keep that very close. Because you have to think that if this ever came out to the public, I mean, I would be one pissed off public citizen if I knew that the government had been hoodwinking me for the last 70 years, you know, because for whatever reason, it doesn't really matter. I mean, let's take, for example, what happened during the Manhattan Project, where they built an entire city in the Tennessee Valley Authority, and they didn't tell the vice president, Truman at the time, that they had this project going on. The cover-up around that, the secrecy around that, people could understand because it was wartime. But one thing they did very intelligently is after they dropped the atomic bombs on Japan, is they came out with this complete report that said, hey, you know, sorry we did this. We had to do it for wartime secrecy reasons, you know. Here's what the atomic bomb is about, blah, blah, blah. They came out and they were honest to the American public. But this is something that mushroomed out of control. and they could not come out and be honest about it early on. It kept getting worse and worse until here we are 70 years later. And, you know, to come out with the truth now that, hey, we pulled the wool over your eyes and we were the folks that created this myth to begin with. I think they see more cons than pros to doing that.
Yeah. Number one, nobody would believe them because it's become such an entrenched cultural meme that even if they came out and said, hey, it's been all us, everyone, you know, within the true believer crowd would think that they're trying to, you know, claim credit for something that everyone has taken for granted as being ET all these decades.
Sure. It would be a cover up to the cover up, you know, where so it was, you know, basically what they say the whole Project Mogul thing was about around Roswell. You know, we were trying to protect that. So we came out with the story. You know, the true believer is not going to believe it. You're exactly right. Their mind is so made up. Their belief system so well entrenched. They're simply not going to believe it. And so I think that, you know, the forces that be out there in the intelligence community, they know that. They know that people would rather believe than actually understand the truth around it.
Yes, let's get back to Roswell. Okay.
you broached the subject.
Okay, yes, the R word. Not just Rosetta, but Roswell. We have about a minute or so before we split. So let's just paint the picture and start going from there. So the first news story says, we've found the flying saucer. The second news story says, oh, no, it was just a balloon. And, of course, this kind of buries the Roswell case for a number of years until the late 70s when William Moore and Charles Berlitz and Stan Friedman get involved in researching Roswell. And certainly this entire mythology erupts that still exists to this very day. But the heart of it, can we take the second newspaper story as true, and I'll have your answer in the next segment, or was it just some kind of secret weapons test or secret aircraft, and they used both stories as a cover story to wipe it off the map for once and for all, at least until people started poking into it a few years later? The book is The Rosetta Deception, and I guess we'll call that part one of the story about this disinformation that leads to UFOs and other things. James Carrion is the author with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Spring time is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.